Good morning. Last couple of months, I had two experiences that really stood out above others and had feelings on both experiences to maybe share them with the church, which I try to do every once in a while. I have something I think can maybe benefit other people as the Lord blessed me with. It wasn't until the last couple of weeks where I kind of seen how they kind of tied together. Both experiences were very emotional. So I appreciate your prayers that I can keep it together and maybe make some sense of it, because y'all know how I can get emotional up here. So with your prayers, I'd like to tell you about them, and hopefully at the end, this will be encouragement to everybody, but especially to parents raising kids, either at home or even just outside of home. So I'm not going to read it all, but I want to encourage you when you get home today to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting about verse 12, and read the rest of that particular chapter. Also Romans, I think it's chapter 12 as well, starting about verse 4. And what you'll read there is where they talk, the Bible describes what your church family is and what it's supposed to be, and the different gifts, and how we're to interact with each other, and about the church family. So, with that being said, my first experience happened in late July this year. I was blessed to go to Washington, D.C. with my oldest daughter, Shana. So we was up there during the week for a basketball tournament, and on the Friday, we had a free day to do whatever we wanted to do. So I looked at her and I said, let's just go see the monuments. Every day was just been slam-packed. I said, let's just go and walk through the monuments. And if you've never done anything like that, highly, highly encourage you to do that with your family and especially your children. It was a wonderful experience. One that I'll never forget. It was a really good experience for me and Shana, just me and her. Of course, I wish the rest of the family had been there. We're planning a trip there as a family, but it was awesome. For my little daughter, now 6 foot, 16 years old, you know, to just be there as a friend. And it was a different type of experience with her. And from the moment we went to the Lincoln Memorial, I cried like a baby. So powerful. But the experience that I had, that I wanted to tell you about this morning, was we left there, we walked through, and it wasn't even on my to-do list. I didn't even realize it was there. It was on my way to the Jefferson Memorial. We walked through, and I've told some of you about this already. We walked through the Korean War Memorial. And all the memorials are good. That one's really good. And it caught me totally by surprise of just how emotional that place is. And of course, if any of you have grown up in this church and know Brother Julian, you know that's the war he participated in. So it kind of choked me up. And Shane, of course, seen it. And we talked about it and I described it. And kind of a cool thing happened. Thanks to technology, I just picked up my phone and called Brother Julian. And like he does almost every time I call him, he answered. And I put him on speakerphone, and me, him, and Shane had just had this moment, 1,000 miles or whatever it is away from each other. But it was like he was standing right there. You could tell it really affected Shane, because she knew, she'd see how much I loved him. And she could tell by his voice, because he was crying on the other end, how much he loved me. And that's important, that your kids, as you're raising them, understand how important it is for church family. And I've got a ton of those kind of moments with people in this church. First time I ever got paid to do anything was Brother Ira and Brother Leroy picking dog fennels out of their hayfield. And Brother Ira gave me $5, and I realized I'm going to college because I'm not doing this. First time how I paid for a young lady I was dating in high school was working for Brother Tom Hull in the orange groves. And I don't know what I'd done without that job, because I had a crazy schedule with my sports and everything. And if I didn't have a flexible job, I couldn't have done it. And it provided me and Stacy a lot of gas money and meal money and things that I wouldn't have been able to do without it. I started the Little Union Southwestern Produce employment rally, where that was a great job for me too. Again, flexible, and it's memories, not just jobs, but memories I've got sitting up at a campfire at our church picnic, you know, with you know, Billy Gary cooking his meals. Billy Gary cooked a lot of meals. I'm going to tell you, if you've never been by the campfire and had his cobbler, you've never had a meal from Billy Gary. And then me and Garland, little Garland, sitting up usually later than everybody else, just watching the stars and catching up with each other because we don't get to spend a lot of time with each other outside of church. And I could go on and on and on. And those memories and those moments and that those relationships can never be taken away. And, you know, as much as close as I am to my mom and dad, they live in Tennessee. And as close as I am to was to my grandparents, for the longest time, I was so thankful because my grandparents, all of them were intact. And then over about a six-year period, I lost every single one of them, with the last one being my Papa Lawrence. And those of you who know my Papa Lawrence, you know, me and him were tight. But as bad as that was, and it was hard, and it still is hard sometimes, I've got grandparents, you know, right here in the church, and have been since I was a little boy. In this crazy world we live in, and it is crazy, those are the things that can keep you humble, keep you steady, and give you a rock that the world won't give you. I remember one day, he wouldn't even have a clue what I'm talking about. I was driving down the interstate and wasn't having a great day. I just picked up the phone and called Brother Garland. And the whole conversation was I was just checking on him. Reality was, I just want to hear his voice and he can help me. He don't even know anything was wrong with me. But it's things like that that we can do with each other that really, really helps us get through this life. And again, go back and read those verses. It's, you know, both of them are long. I didn't want to take up too much time reading them, but it really lays out how we're supposed to spend time with each other and care about each other. And when you think about this particular church, you know, the Lord talks about praying specific prayers, pray for specific healing. When you thank the Lord to be a part of the Primitive Baptist Church, you also throw in an extra line and be specific and say, you're thankful for Little Union, Primitive Baptist Church. Everybody don't have what we have here at Little Union. When you think about it, from Sister Mildred to little baby Ray, we've got the whole gamut covered. And every church isn't that way, not just Primitive Baptist. We've got it all covered, and there's no guarantee that we'll be that way. Brother Chris has preached upon that. It's us, with the Lord's help and guidance, to make sure that continues by raising our children in the church the best we can. So I'm going to come back to the church family. I'm going to talk about my second experience and hopefully be able to tie them together, how it's been pressed upon me. If you would, turn your Bibles. I'm only going to read this one. The Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. My second experience happened several weeks after the first one. And unbelievably, me and Stacy had to go on a college visit with our daughter, Shana. I cannot believe we are actually staring college in the face in a couple of years. But we thought it was important. She thought it was important. And we went up to the University of North Florida, just south of Jacksonville. And it was a really good experience. It was an eye-opener in a good way and also in a negative way. We were walking through. It's a beautiful campus. And I've been on a lot of college campuses with Shane the last couple of years. And I haven't seen her react to this one or like she did with this one on the others. I could tell she was really intrigued. And that's a good thing. You know, if you're going to go to college, you want to be happy where you go. So I could tell she was intrigued. So we were going through the whole thing. It's a couple hours long the first day. And about halfway through it, my mind is just all over the place. I'm thinking the same thing she's thinking. Beautiful campus. They're really stressed academics. You know, they don't give exceptions to athletes. Things that all the stuff you want to hear as a parent. I'm also looking at the dorms, knowing she's going to be up there if she was blessed to go there, whatever, go up there with all these young kids just out of the school with no parents around and all the negatives that come with college. You know, and college gets a bad rap, and deservedly so sometimes, because it's kind of like the internet. You can have really, really good things, but you can also have the bad. Well, I had a really, really good experience in college, and I know others. I know Randy and Paula and me and Stacey and others had good experiences, but it can be bad. And as a parent, that's all you want to focus on is the negative. My daughter away by herself, this and that. And we just passed through the brand spanking new building they call the Student Center, where you can go and play games and lay out by the pool. And there's 100 kids out there all in their bathing suits laying out, guys and girls and this. And I'm just, my mind's about to explode. And as I'm thinking about this, I immediately start thinking of Shana. And I'm like, I wonder what she's thinking. 16 years old, I bet you her mind's racing about all the cool things she's going to get to do when she gets out of the house and how she's going to be able to experience life. I just know that's what she's thinking. And the thought hadn't even hardly cleared out of my head as we were walking to the next building. She turns around and looks at me. She's about six steps ahead of me. And she goes, "Dad, come here. I got to ask you a question." And I was like, "Oh boy, here we go." So I'm trying to put on my face about how to tell her whatever she was going to ask me. You know, I want to discourage it. But I want to be the cool dad and not be, you know, whatever too. So I get up to her and I said, "Yeah, honey, what's going on?" And she said, "Dad," she goes, "if I were to go here," she goes, "is there a church close by? Where would I go to church?" I got to tell you, I was not expecting that one. And it's kind of like when you experience a moment that you escape, whether it's, you know, I always say if something, you almost, something happens, you almost pass away or something, your life flashes before your eyes. And the moment she asked me that question, I mean within a second, my mind flashed in thankfulness to all the many times that I tried my best to train her up the way I could by saying the blessing, whether we're in a house or whether in the middle of Outback Steakhouse. Whether I could tell she wanted to go to church or not, we went to church. How important it is to go visit people when they're sick, and knowing that most teenagers don't want to go to a hospital, not that anybody does, and visit the sick, but it's important. And my son, you know, with him, you know, teaching him how to pray, and with people that are in the hospital, and just all the things that, you know, the Lord has blessed me to try to do. But as it is with human beings, there's always a but. It'd be great to stop right there. But I couldn't, because my mind also immediately flashed to all those times where I haven't been the best dad, where I haven't said the things I should have said, or I've said things I shouldn't have said, and she heard because she's in the household. The times that we should have been in church and weren't in church when we could have been, and I know she knows that. I think about all the things that I haven't done good and haven't done right, and the devil just brings out that discouragement stick and just starts beating you in the head with it, saying, "You haven't done enough." When she gets out on her own, she's just going to get caught up in this world. And then almost immediately, again, all in a flash, I thought about this verse. And I'm going to read it to you again. And sometimes the Bible is so wonderful about things it does say. There's also some things that are wonderful the Bible doesn't say. I'm going to read it the way it's read. And then I'm going to read it again. I'm going to add one word. And I'm so thankful this one word's not in there because it gives me courage. But it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." I love that. What I'm so thankful it does not say is, "Train up a child perfectly in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Because I have not been perfect. As parents, even Brother Julian has not been perfect in raising their child. But God isn't asking us to be perfect. He's telling us to do the best we can. And the kids will see it. Shana, when I finally answered a question, I said, "Yeah, honey." I said, "There's actually, you know, we're near Jacksonville." I said, "You know, the Clinton Church isn't that far away." Her face lit up like a Christmas tree. She knows Brother David Crawford. She knows people at that church. And it excited her there was a church nearby. I really do believe, based on her, the way she reacted, if I'd have said, "Honey, there's no church except Little Union 3 hours away," I think that would have changed everything. I don't know if she'll go there or not, but the fact that she had that. And of course, as a teenager, she goes, "Dad, but that's a long ways away." I said, "What's 45 minutes? You drive a half hour now." "Okay, you're right. Good." So I don't know if she was excited for Brother David or Brother David's son. But she was excited. So how do those two tie together? Well, we talked about church family, and we talked about raising your family. One of the things that I struggle with, and I talk to my dad about a lot, you want to see your kids grow, but you don't want to see them grow. I love having little Shelby at the house, and Trey and Shana. And there's times I ask Dad, I said, "Dad, how does this work? You know, when they get older, they're going to leave. They're not going to be there. I'm not going to see them every day." And Dad one time told me, he said, "Well, son, how worried would you be if they didn't grow?" And I got thinking about that. I was like, "Yeah, you're right." You know, Trey didn't talk for 3 or 4 years, and we were panicking. Now we, you know, can't get him to stop talking. You know, and it goes on and on. You want them to grow. You want them. And he said, your relationship evolves, and you have new experiences. And but you start off with, you're with them their entire time, their family. And you can protect them. You can shield them from everything this world has because they are with you all the time. And it's great. But then kindergarten hits. Bobby and Sarah's experienced this now. There's others. Where all of a sudden, 3 hours a day, Harlow's not with family. She, even when she wasn't with family, she was with us. You know, so they were always with family. Well, now she's not. 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, she's with somebody else. And they're back with family. Even the Miller and Johnson compound over there, there's times when those kids, they have to leave that fenced area. They can't stay amongst family. And so then you start thinking, well, you know, how are they going to, you know, what are they going to do? And that's why this church is so important, because you've got church family. Think about the experiences I shared earlier. I wasn't around Mom and Dad when I was working, but I was around Brother Tom. I was around Brother Chris. I was around Brother Ira. And I could go on and on and on. That was my extended church family. If Shana's blessed to go to the University of North Florida, she's got the McClenny church family. If I go to North Carolina, I've had church family. If I go to Tennessee, and it just goes beyond this particular church, but you know, mainly this church. I've shared experiences with everyone here, and it's been part of my life growing up. The problem is, even there's going to be even times when the church family's not around. So as a parent, that's what scares you the most. But there is one who is always with your children, as he's always been with you and me, thankfully. And that's Jesus. It's really the only thing that gets me through. Because, I mean, I'm scared to death. I've heard people say this world's a crazy place to raise children, and it is. So how do you get through that? Because you can't do it all. You can't be it all. Even if you were, you're going to mess something up. You're not going to be perfect. But Jesus is always there, and it's so important to let them know that, that they can rely on Him. And being alone, by the way, isn't always just being completely by yourself. I used to work in those orange groves, and Brother Tom can tell you better than I did, because he did it for a long time. But we weren't always together. Most of the time we weren't together. It was usually me and a hoe. All right, walking in an orange grove, and that is a lonely, lonely place. And you didn't have a cell phone back then with internet and all that kind of stuff. You were by yourself with nothing but your thoughts. And when things were good, it was great. But when you showed up at 2 o'clock and you know you had to work at least till 6, and those 4 hours you might be having a little spat with your girlfriend, not that me and Stacy ever argued, or you might have something else going on in your life that you wanted to get to so bad you couldn't FaceTime them to figure it out, you had 4 hours all by yourself to worry, to doubt, to think about what am I going to do, what is going on, they're not going to love me anymore, my friend don't like me anymore. It was all over the place growing up. And that's what you're in when you're in middle school and high school. That's the kind of stuff that kids go through. But I could talk to the Lord. And I'm telling you, I did. I mean, I really got close to the Lord out there in that orange grove. I had an experience in middle school where my very best friend in the world to this day was the best man at my wedding. His older brother couldn't stand how close me and Michael were together. And he used to threaten to kick my butt. And I'm going to tell you right now, he could. He could kick anybody's rear end. And I was scared to death. David Lawrence, A-type personality athlete, was scared to death to get up and go to junior high school many days. Because I thought, today's the day. He's going to whoop me right here in front of everybody. I had 1,000 people around me, yet I was all alone. But I talked to the Lord. And I sat on that bus and I prayed like you wouldn't believe I prayed. Prayed like I prayed on that bench. Just be with me today, Lord. And He was there. And I got through it. And now He's kind of a friend now. But still, the Lord helped me through it. You don't have to be alone physically. You could be sitting on the pew and be by yourself and need the Lord. Surrounded by your family. Surrounded by your church family on the same pew and be by yourself. But the Lord's with you. Jesus is with you. And I know that for several reasons. One, from my own experiences that I just described to you, because He was with me and I know He's been with you. And if for nothing else, this last week, I'll throw in an extra experience that she's going to be mad at me for embarrassing her, but I'm not, because I think it's sweet. We found a video on Shelby's iPod where she sang a song that she made up, created, wrote, called About Heaven. And it's an unbelievable song. And things that she says in there just is ate up with Primitive Baptists. And we're so thankful that she's in the church. But one of the things she says in her way where she's singing and dancing is she said, when people go to heaven, people cry. But you can dry your eyes because you're in a better place. And if you want to know why, she was singing this. And if you want to know why, she said, because it's in the Bible. And you know what? Through your experiences, but more importantly, because of your Bible, the Lord has promised to always be with you. And more importantly, for parents, He's promised to be with you and your children. So when they do venture out to elementary, when they venture out to high school, when they leave the nest, and they go to college, if that's what their thing is, or work, or whatever, you don't have to worry about them being alone. And they can draw from the experiences they've had growing up in this church family, and hopefully in your family at home that's been raised up in the church. And that'll get them through whatever they're going through, positively or negatively. It'll keep them grounded when they want to pump up with pride. It'll give them strength and encouragement when they're getting beat down by this world, because they're going to get beat down, and that's part of growing up. And I thank the Lord every single day for His influence in my life and being there for me when I needed Him. And I thank Him for blessing me with you. I love each and every one of you. I could stay here for another hour talking about all the different things of experience I've had with each one of you. Aunts, uncles, grandparents, brothers. I've got them all right here. They're not just in North Carolina. Matter of fact, I'm closer to you than I am the ones in North Carolina, except for maybe a couple. And that's because they're in the church. So your church family is the most important thing outside of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself here on earth. And never forget that. And I hope that will encourage you as parents, because I need it every day when I raise mine and I see them going through their different phases in life. With that, I thank you.